I didn't mention it during the prayer request, but some of you might have heard Brother Billy Mitchell. They cut him open this week, did some tests, and he's got terminal cancer. So they've sewed him up and sent him home, and so he's under hospice this week. So they're not really giving him a timetable. Most of you know Brother Billy. He may have preached here before. Has he preached here before that you know of, Brother Billy Mitchell? Probably been a... He always preaches at Celine, starts our camp off, it seems like, every year. So pray for that family. Those men are leaving the scene, seems like, quicker than I'm ready for, because that means more work for us young people. But I'm excited. That's why I enjoy being around young people. I'm still not that old. I enjoy working in a Christian school, of course, working at Camp Canaan there through the summer. But tonight I'd like to preach out of 2 Timothy, and I say this because I'm preaching here out of 2 Timothy chapter number 4 this evening, if you'll find your place. And this will be maybe not a message for everyone, but that'll be okay. I think this is what we'll have for this evening. But 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 1, obviously if you know your Bible, this is Paul writing to Timothy, who'd be a younger man than Paul. Paul, as far as I know, this is the last book, some of the last words Paul ever says that is recorded in Scripture. And so he takes this time to tell younger Timothy. He said, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." So tonight I'd like to preach on this thought. I'm going to be preaching on preaching, and also preaching on hearing. Because when we hear this passage of Scripture, we emphasize the preach the word, and I want to emphasize that tonight. But there's also a twofold aspect in preaching. There's preaching the word, but there's also hearing the word. Because later on in these verses, it says that there'll be those that will turn away their ears from the truth and will be turned unto fables. And it says again that they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So preaching the word and hearing the word. So Lord, we thank you for the night again. We thank you for this group here that's assembled again on this Sunday night. Lord, we understand this is an unpopular thing, Lord, to have church on a Sunday night in our generation, Lord, and even on a Wednesday night for that matter. But Lord, I thank you for those that come. Lord, I think it speaks to their heart and their desire. Lord, thank you for families that'll bring their children, Lord, so that they'll be able to hear your word. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us this evening, Lord, as we spend some time here in these verses. Lord, we love you, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5, let me just read this verse. And and I don't say this because you don't have a preacher, because you do have a preacher. I've heard Brother Billy preach. I know he preaches the word. And if you have a man of God that stands in this pulpit that'll preach the word, it's a blessing, it's a privilege, because those are dying off. And there's not, I don't look around, and I remember I graduated with 45 other young men in Bible college in Oklahoma City. We sat through 4 years together, we labored together, we worked together, and I can't tell you how many of them's already turned away from the truth. I can't tell you how many of them's already said, you know, this thing about ministry, the way we were taught it, and the way these older men told us that this is the way you should go, this is the old path that you should take, it's just really not working out. And I'm sad to say that a lot of them, one of the first things they did was change their Bible, as if that was an indication that we're behind the times. I love my King James Bible. I'm thankful that I can read it, and as a saved man, understand it. I don't have to, there's some words in there that I don't understand, but I'm thankful for Mr. Webster. I mean, God sent Mr. Webster to help stupid people like me be able to understand some words in the English language. And so I don't have to look every month and hope and pray, man, I wish somebody would come out with another version that would just explain this a little better. Because here's what 1 Timothy, here's what Paul told Timothy in verse 17. He said, let the elders rule well, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. And that's a wonderful phrase in and of itself. But notice what these elders do. He said that labor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you've never done it, preaching is a hard task. It really is a labor. And I'd like to do this in light of Brother Billy not being here, because studying this makes me appreciate the men of God that stand every time the doors of church are open and they'll preach the word. And I'm not talking about the kind of churches that we have in our day where people get up and pull up a chair and a table and they sit and talk to you for 15, 20 minutes and make you feel good about yourself and then send you on your way. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men of God that will preach. They'll preach it when it's popular. They'll preach it when it's not. They'll give you reproof when you need it, but they'll give you exhortation at the same time. They'll weep with you at the doctor's office in the hospital, but they'll stand up on Sunday morning and say, you're sinning and you need to repent. And they'll do it out of love. Because if you have a man of God that will do that, he's worthy of honor. Amen. He's worthy of more than just honor. He's worthy of double honor. He's worthy, let me say, he's worthy of your attendance every time the doors are open. If a man of God is going to stand and labor week after week to study and to get something from God so that he could feed the flock, it would behoove us as members of New Testament Baptist churches to be there.
Amen.
To be fed by the shepherd. And it's sad that people look at Sunday night and they look at Wednesday as just an optional thing, like, you know, that's no big deal. But there's a shepherd that God has put in your church and he labors so that he can feed you. And so often I'm the same way, get home and it's been a rough day on a Wednesday for sure, and you're tired. There's a lot going on. If you get home 6:30, 6:45, well, I ain't got time to eat. But the man of God has spent hours so that you could spiritually be fed. And Paul told Timothy, as a young man, don't you overlook men that will labor. And I can remember in Bible college, our professor, Brother Sam Davison, some of you may have heard him preach before, but Brother Sam, and I observed this with him, I saw this in his teaching and in his preaching, it was full of meat. It was full. He could preach an hour and a half and you would be captivated because of the gift that God gave him to preach, but also the content. And he said, and he wasn't braggadocious about this, but he said, young men, he said, understand this. He said, I'll preach 3, maybe 4 times a week as a pastor. He said, I spend on average 10 to 15 hours per message. 10 to 15 hours per message. If you preach 4 times a week, that's a 60-hour work week. And we complain when we have to do a little overtime. But the man of God, he said, because it's my responsibility to feed God's flock. It's my responsibility. If it takes 15 hours to get something from the Lord, I have to labor in that. It's not good enough for a preacher to sit on a Saturday night at almost midnight and say, well, I'm preaching in the morning, I better get something from the Lord. Shame on that man. Because it's the Word of God. It's quick. It's powerful. But many times we relegate the responsibility to study, as Paul told Timothy, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we live in a day where many churches have abandoned biblical preaching. We don't like to hear it. Why? Because it contradicts the way we live our lives. It contradicts the way we want to think about how we should live and how we're allowed to live. And so tonight, let's consider these final words from Paul to Timothy. As he said, Timothy, the time of my departure is near. And as I stated in the beginning, you know, the Billy Mitchells of the world aren't living forever. These older men, my pastor, Brother Noah, he's having health issues even now. He's not going to be there forever. His dear wife, Miss B, they're not going to be there forever. Some of you older saints, you understand, time is fleeting. There's something important that has to be passed down to these young people, because if it's not given to them, then you're going to lose your church. You're going to lose the opportunity to be a witness and a light in this community.
And so Paul tells Timothy, I charge thee, therefore, before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearance and his kingdom. Paul said that preaching is important for one primary reason, and it's because, number one, because of the coming judgment. Do you know judgment's coming? And it's not very good. It's not something I'm looking forward to. The thought of me having to stand before God one day alone and give an account for what I did in my life, that frightens me. That scares me. But do you know what it scares me to do? Try and live holier. Try and live right. Try and live in obedience to what the Holy Spirit's leading me to do. Because judgment's coming. Not just for the sinner, but for the saved.
Amen.
And so he says, why should you preach? Well, Paul said, Timothy, preach because one day judgment's coming to every man. Why does Brother Billy stand and preach? I don't think it's for his living, for his livelihood. I believe God called him to do that. And he stands and preaches for that one more soul. There's always one more soul that needs to be reached. There's always one more Christian that needs to be turned back to the Lord. There's always one more thing that needs to be done in the work of the Lord. And we are supposed to stand as the men of God and preach it. And so he says, preach because judgment is coming. But what to preach? Timothy might have wondered, well, what should I preach? What's the message? Well, Paul gives it really clear. Preach the word. It's real simple. He said, you don't have to add to it. You don't have to take away from it. If you'll preach the word, it'll be everything man needs. And unfortunately, we live in such a spastic, I guess we could say, society where we're looking at one thing here and 10 seconds later another commercial's here and here and here and our focus is just everywhere. And we can't sit through a message anymore without distraction. I can't sometimes, and preachers can't preach sometimes without getting distracted. You've heard about rabbit trails. I've heard some preachers that'll stand and preach and they'll be going along good and all of a sudden they'll get over here and you think, now how do you get over there? And then he'll get going real good and he'll say, now how do I get over here? Because there's distractions. It's hard to stay focused. And as a preacher, I'm to stay focused on preaching. But as a hearer, you're supposed to stay focused on hearing.
That's right.
Because if you're not actively trying to hear, why did Jesus Christ labor to tell those seven churches in Revelation, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There's something God wants you to hear tonight from his word. And so he says, preach the word. And we know what preaching means. It means to herald forth loudly the king's message. Now I've heard soft-spoken preaching. I've heard loud preaching. I've heard fast preaching. I've heard slow and methodical preaching. And honestly, it doesn't matter the style of preacher as long as he'll preach the word.
Right.
I can get something from it.
Amen.
He doesn't have to be entertaining. He doesn't have to be funny. He doesn't have to be anything but what God called him to do. And I was taught as a young man, preaching is simply Jesus Christ just using you and pouring out his word through your personality. I don't have to look around at these dynamic speakers and preachers and say, I want to be like them. And labor to be like them. No, I'm exactly, I believe, what God called me to be. He wants to use me. He wants to use you. If you're teaching, he wants to use you just the way you are. Just teach the word. And so he says, here's what one man had to say. The preacher's message, and understand, if Brother Billy's doing these things and I'm preaching tonight, double honor. And I believe he does. But here's what one man said about preaching. The preacher's message should come out of the text and be governed by the text so that when he is done, you can look at the text and say, I understand what he is saying and how it applies to my life. If a man doesn't explain and apply Scripture, his preaching may be entertaining, it may be inspirational, but it will lack life-changing power. Every time I try and preach, the greatest compliment anyone can give a preacher is, I understood what you were saying. I understood it. Whether you liked it, whether you didn't like it, if I can stand and preach the Word of God And you can look at that Bible and say, that's exactly right. And that's exactly how it applies in my life.
Amen.
Then I believe the preacher has done his job. Now it's up to the hearer to take God's word and make the changes. And so when to preach, Timothy? When, Paul, you know, there's going to come a time, Paul said, because evil men and seducers are waxing worse and worse, and they're out deceiving people, and they're being deceived by Satan. When should I preach? He said, preach it when it's popular. Preach it when it's unpopular. Preach it when there's people flooding to hear. Preach it when there's only a handful. Preach it when they're excited for hearing God's word. Preach it when they're just kind of sitting there not even caring what you're saying. He said, be instant in season and out of season. He said, don't ever let there be a time where you're not ready and able to preach the word.
Amen.
Everything I am revolves around preaching, honestly. That's what God called me to do. But I understand if a man cannot keep his family, a man cannot raise his children, a man cannot have a wife that would love and respect him, and a man can't be in the home what God called him to be, he is destroying most of his ministry. Any kind of influence that man would have would be void. If people look at that man's life and say, well, his home's a mess, how can we respect his message? And sadly, I spend a lot of time out preaching, and sometimes it's to my fault. Sometimes I'm so eager to go and preach, I'll not even consider what my family might need. Because if I lose my family, my pastor says this many times, if you lose your family, you've lost your ministry. You've lost your ministry. If I lose my family, I have no ministry, because I have no ground to stand on. Because it's clear that me, I don't even know how to apply the own scriptures in my own home. And so I spend a great deal. I don't like missing church with my family. They don't come with me sometimes because ours are pretty loud. You understand that. And they're kind of disruptive. But at their age, literally every time I take them to church with me somewhere else, they'll literally sit right there and point the whole time, say, Daddy, 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 Daddy. And I get tired of hearing that. And I don't want people to think I have crazy kids. But I love my family. Why? Because that's my main ministry. God's called me to preach, but He's first called me to be the father and the husband in my home. And even in Brother Billy's instance, he needs time with his family. He very much does. He needs time to rest. He needs time to step away. And I'm glad that he has men in this church that can keep everything going right in order when he's not here, because I've seen so many men wear down in ministry because they just feel like they always have to be there. Because there's not men, there's not ladies in the church that will step up and say, Pastor, you take a break, we'll take care of it. You'll be okay. Go rest. And then he says, Timothy, how should you preach? And I like these. He said, there's three types of preaching. There's only three. And sometimes some messages you get all three, sometimes you get one. But he says, Timothy, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so, reproving, what kind of preaching does reproving do? And I don't like this one, okay? I don't like reproving. I don't like being reproved. It seems like if you're older and someone reproves you, it really hurts more as you get older to have maybe an older preacher or an older man or an older lady get on you about something and you know she's right or you know he's right. Man, that takes a blow to the pride. To swallow that and say, yeah, you're right. I'm sorry. But reproving, it's to present your case in such a manner as to convince your opponent that they're wrong. It's a legal term. It's like a lawyer that stands up and presents the facts of the case and the defendant's there knowing he's guilty but pleading not guilty. But yet they'll stand up and present all the facts and the defendant stands there and says, well, the facts line up. You're right and I'm wrong. What kind of preaching does reproving look like? It's a preacher that will stand and say, hey, I know how you're living. And I'm not going to call the people out by name, but he'll preach the word of God. And you'll agree and say, yes, that's the way I'm living. But reproving goes further than that. It not only shows you where you're wrong, it shows you how to be right. And I'm thankful for preachers that will show me what's wrong with me, but I love it when they get over and tell me how to fix it. I appreciate a doctor that will tell me what's wrong physically, but I more appreciate, now this is what we're going to do to fix it. This is our plan going forward. And so that's reproving. It appeals to the reason of the hearers. It's literally not necessarily the preacher arguing with you, but God's word getting into your mind and heart, and you begin reasoning with the Lord. And you going back and forth with Him. And then there's rebuking. If you didn't like reproving, you really won't like rebuking, because it's a little sharper. It appeals to the conscience of the hearer. And this is the moral aspect of preaching, one man said. Here's how he summed it up. Basically, the preacher's message is this: you are sinning against God and need to repent. You're sinning against God and need to repent. And we tend not to like this, but it's desperately needed in our day. It's needed. I need a man of God to stand and preach God's word, and for God's word to look at me and say, that is wrong, and you need to repent. Amen. And change it. But if you don't have a man of God that will stand and preach the word, you'll never know what's wrong. You'll never know how to get closer to God. You'll never know how to walk better with the Lord. You'll never know how to have a greater and sweeter relationship with God. You might not even know better how to raise your children or how to have a marriage that's full of love and respect for one another. You might not even know how to dress out in public. You may not even know how to let God's principles of music govern what you listen to, or how you should watch, or what you should watch, or what you shouldn't watch. If a man doesn't stand and preach, how are you supposed to morally know how to live? Right. And in the last one, exhorting. Exhorting. That appeals to your will and also your emotions. It's literally a man of God that will stand and say, come on, you can do it. You can do it. It's encouraging preaching. But I need all of them in my life. I need them all. But I sure love when a man will stand up, and maybe he'll give a testimony of struggles in his life and how the Lord helped him, but he'll be encouraged. It's almost like the shepherd's leading the sheep, and he's looking back to some that are starting to wonder. He say, come on, come on, stay with us. We're almost there. There's great blessings on the other side if you'll just stay faithful. Come on. It's exhortation. Any teacher or preacher whose teaching tends to make people think less of sin is a menace to Christianity and mankind. If you can hear a preacher or a teacher preach or teach and come away thinking, well, my sin really not that bad, he's a menace to the Word of God.
Amen.
Because God does not look at sin the way we look at sin.
Right.
God does not marginalize sin the way we marginalize sin. God does not water down sin the way we can water down sin. God doesn't talk down sin the way we can talk down sin. Oh, that really wasn't that bad. God looks at sin as sin. There's really, if it's little in our eyes, it doesn't matter to Him. It's big enough to break fellowship with Him.
Right.
And if a man will stand up and say, oh, this is what I did this week, and make less and make light of sin, he's a menace. So this is the job of every preacher. And I don't think any of you are called to preach in here. There might be a couple. So I thank you for hanging with me through that section. But now we'll get on hearing. Because it's one thing for a man of God to stand and preach, but it's a whole different ballgame when you sit out there and your job is to listen. Your job is to hear. So often, good, solid preaching falls on deaf ears because of the heart condition of the hearer. And so Paul tells Timothy, you preach the word. Why? The time is coming when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Do you know what listening to preaching takes? It takes endurance. I know it does. I sit through a lot of preaching. It literally takes endurance. It takes you taking your focus and saying, now, Lord, you help me do it best I can, eliminate distractions so I can hear the message. It's hard. I sit on Wednesdays sometime fighting sleep, fighting myself, trying to hear the message because our flesh is so prone to want its own way. But why is hearing the Word of God of supreme importance? It's because of man's propensity to turn away from the truth. Because of our propensity to turn away from the truth. Right. What do they turn? They turn from sound doctrine and turn unto fables. Sound doctrine is those things that they'll put us in line of how to live. They'll teach us how we should act. They'll teach us what we should believe. They'll teach us how we should behave out in public. They'll teach you how you should go to work in the morning and be. How you should work, how you should witness, how you should walk with the Lord. Sound doctrine will give you everything you need in life, but a lot of people don't want to hear it because it takes work. Living for the Lord is not easy. It really is not. It's difficult because of the sinfulness that we live in, because of the negative culture that we have, because of the oppressive nature that people have towards Christian people that want to do right. It's a hard task. That's why he says, endure. Sound doctrine. It's hard to endure those things. And then he says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. So if there's a propensity for the hearer to turn away from the truth, because it'd be so much easier if we could pile in and go to Dallas and hear our smiling buddy and sit with 35, 40,000 other people and him to smile at you and tell you everything's rosy, everything's all right, everything's going to be great. If you'll do this, God's going to bless it. If you'll, and these other men that'll stand, if you'll send in this, man, God will give you tenfold more. And they'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. And 40 and 50,000 people will flock in the televisions will turn on and people will sit there with their mouth open thinking, wow, this is grit Christianity right here. But no, Christianity's hard, friend. It's hard. It's hard to go to work with sinners and to be a light and a witness. It's hard to look at your neighbors across the street knowing they're not faithful to the house of God, knowing they're not faithful to love God, knowing they're not faithful to anything to do with the Lord, and to get enough courage to go invite them to the house of God, not just once to fulfill some kind of moral obligation, but to literally pursue after them like they're your own. What is loving your neighbor? Well, I think it's simply loving anyone that you come on into contact with that has a need spiritually. If you're really going to love people, it's hard work. But I'm thankful we don't do it alone. We have a congregation. We have fellowship. We have the gift of a pastor. We have the gift of teachers. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit to give us the unction and the utterance to be able to go and be a witness for Him. But hearing's important because there's a propensity to turn away from the truth. Look around. It's evident. It's evident in our church. It's evident in your church that people don't care about hearing the truth. They feel like 30 minutes on Sunday morning is far enough for what they need in their life. But the day in which we live in, I need it Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. And if I skip on Wednesday, you ask my wife what kind of bear I become. And if I miss a couple days, boy, I really get in the flesh. Because I need that reorientation every day. As Paul said, I die daily. Because he knew the propensity of his flesh to want to go that way, when the Spirit is saying, no, blessings and fellowship and riches are this way. But you have to be around the truth, and you have to love to hear the truth. And so lastly, and this is what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for my pastor. I'm thankful for Brother Billy. I know y'all had homecoming recently. I don't know how many years he's been here. It's a long time now. But what does a preacher do when so many, turn away their ears from the truth and they turn out and turn into fables? Well, they keep preaching. What are you to do when one of your family members don't want to hear, doesn't care about hearing? You keep telling. Go find someone else. You keep praying. You keep taking opportunity, but you keep pursuing. And he tells Timothy, "But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry." I have a lot of respect for any man that will stay in a place and dig in and preach. I've never experienced what that's like to this point. But I've observed my pastor, he's been at Celine now going on 42 years. And outside of a few years out at Bible College, that's the only pastor I've ever had. And you know what I've seen him do every Sunday, every Sunday night, every Wednesday? He stands and he preaches the word. He preaches it when people want to hear. And he preaches it when the temperature and the climate of the church is pretty dead. And he stands and he weeps with us. He reproves us. He rebukes us. And he exhorts us. And if you can endure those things, and if you have a man that will endure with you, count him worthy of double honor.
Right.
Pray for that man and his family. And I'm not saying you don't. Just a reminder. I get the privilege of preaching. I preach a lot, but not as nearly as much as a pastor. And I know the labor. I know the struggle. I know the hardness. I know the sometimes the discouragement to pour your heart into something and to see nothing in return. And it wasn't because of the seed. It was because of the hearts of the people. So labor. As Brother Billy labors to preach, you labor to hear.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for the word. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, we don't have to do anything else. Lord, thousands of years have shown us that if we'll just preach the word and live the word, Lord, great things are in store. Lord, I pray for these young people. Lord, we're living in a difficult generation for young people to live for you. Lord, we need them. I need them. Lord, I need them in my life. Lord, this church needs them. This church needs young people that love the Lord above all things. This church needs these older folks to love you with all things. And Lord, I thank you that this church has a shepherd that feeds his flock. Lord, I thank you that he can step away, Lord, and refocus, refresh, Lord, and come back. And I'm sure next time he'll stand and preach. Lord, he'll preach the word. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as hearers. Lord, it's a difficult task to hear and to apply. And to, Lord, as James said, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. So Lord, you help us to endure. And Lord, you bless this time now as we sing. Thank you again for the privilege to be around your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, brother.
Let's turn in the Woodland Book, page 85.